ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading one of the most important verses of Bhagavad Gita, 9.34. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evashtase yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanah. Matmanaha, always thinking of me. Bhava, become. Mat, my. Bhaktaha, devotee. Mat, my. Yaji, worshipper. Mam, unto me. Namaskuru, offer obeisances. Mam, unto me. Eva, completely. Eshasi, you will come. Yuktva, being absorbed. Evam, thus. Atmanam, your soul. Matparayanaha, devoted to me. Purport. In this verse, it is clearly stated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes, unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhashya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, Deha Dehi Vibhedoyam Neshvare Vidyate Kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know the science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demoniac. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide spiritual teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material but is eternal blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the spiritual form of Krishna. With conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme, he should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord, that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma, but a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is almost unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme award of Krishna. The devotee in the beginning may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish and will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Person of Godhead takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So thank you for giving this opportunity. Actually, this is such an important verse, and I hope and pray that even I can I can also advance in my spiritual life by discussing about this most important verse of Bhagavad Gita. And we have been discussing this for many days, Mataji? How many days? Yeah, number 10. Oh. Actually, I was out of Vrindavan. I just came back day before yesterday. So already you must have heard from many advanced devotees about the relations about this verse. So I'll just try to repeat whatever I can about this verse from based on Prabhupada's purports. Okay, yeah. Right. So, that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that that's the beauty of individuality, that the same verse, but every devotee, when they present, something new comes up, and so that's his speciality. Okay. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions a few very important points. So, firstly, he confronts those unscrupulous commentators who divert the mind of the readers. So fortunately, with the grace of Prabhupada, we have been saved from those unscrupulous commentators, because there are many, and especially in India and also outside, those who read Bhagavad Gita, they know many verses of Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, they don't know the importance of this particular verse. So we are so fortunate that we know that this is the most, in fact you can say the most important verse of Bhagavad Gita, and that is why it is repeated twice, once in 9th and in 18th chapter. So this is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says to think of Krishna, to become his devotee. But unfortunately, many people are there who read Bhagavad Gita, but they don't understand this, the very essence of Bhagavad Gita. And we also have been in the same category had it not been for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore Prabhupada is saying very strongly, because what these people do, they divert the attention of the readers. You all must be knowing that there is a famous person in India, the vice president who was there, Mr. Radhakrishnan. So he has written in his commentary about this verse. He says that one should not, when Krishna is saying, think of me, surrender unto me, he is speaking of the Brahman inside him. So Prabhupada is mainly hitting at that point. He is saying, no, it's not like that. There is no difference between Krishna and inside of, there is no inside or outside of Krishna. Krishna is absolute. Like when we say me, so there are two different, I can speak on the bodily platform or I can refer to my soul. But for Krishna is not like that. Krishna is absolute. So Prabhupada is first establishing that when Krishna says think of me, it is thinking of Krishna only, of nothing else. And then he says, what is the meaning of think of Krishna? He is saying to think of his eternal form, the primal form of Krishna. Here also Prabhupada is clarifying. He is saying, in fact, the same verse, the similar verse in 18th chapter, there Prabhupada makes it very clear that we should not even think of any other form of Vishnu also. Not Narasimha, not Varaha, not Vishnu, but only of 200 form of Krishna. He clarifies in 18th chapter, the same verse Prabhupada says. So Prabhupada is making so clear that this verse means that one must think of the 200 original form of Krishna, holding flute in his hand, who is dark blue complexion Krishna. And Prabhupada is saying that there are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for worship of Krishna, and devotion services practiced there. Very important that we have to practice this. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna, and one has to offer everything to Krishna. So this is one thing that Prabhupada says. And then Prabhupada makes another point that, okay, someone may say this point is clear that I must think of Krishna. So can I think of Krishna in any way I want? Then Prabhupada is clarifying, no, it has to be in a favorable way. Under the guidance of a bona fide teacher, Prabhupada says. Favorable cultivation. And here he refers to the verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the definition of pure bhakti. Anya abhilashita shunyam, jnana karma dhyanavritam, anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. That uttama bhakti, what is pure devotional service? Is thinking of Krishna in a favorable way, not unfavorably. And he gives the example of unfavorable thinking of Krishna. What is that example? Of Kamsa. That he was thinking, and we know from Bhagavatam that he was actually, he was very, very Krishna conscious. I mean, we can't even imagine the stage of his Krishna consciousness. Everywhere he was seeing Krishna. When he was eating, he was seeing Krishna, so he used to throw his food. Krishna is here. Everywhere he was seeing Krishna. So he was that Krishna conscious, but in an unfavorable way. So we have to be Krishna conscious in a favorable way. So he was thinking of Krishna as his enemy. But we have to think of Krishna in a favorable way. That means we should try to please him. That is the meaning of favorable way. Anukulyena Krishnanu. That means we must do things which are pleasing to Krishna. And we must do things for his pleasure. So that is the meaning of thinking of Krishna favorably. And Prabhupada says very clear that it has to be learned from a bona fide teacher. But because on our own, it's very difficult to identify which is favorable and which is unfavorable thinking of Krishna. So we have to be guided by the bona fide teacher. And then in the end, Prabhupada says that how this is the perfection of one's life is to always think of Krishna, and even though one may fail in his attempt, even though one may not be 100% successful, but still there is no loss. Because in the same 9th chapter, few verses before, we have read this famous verse that apiches sudurachara bhajate mam anyane bhag sadhur eva samantavya samyak vyavastuto hi sa. So Prabhupada is again referring to the same verse in this purport. He's saying that even though he accidentally falls down, Prabhupada says that he is a perfect saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes care of his pure devotees. So this is a very, very encouraging statement. That why we don't have any chance for fall down? Because Krishna himself takes care of his devotees. So if we just try to even think of Krishna, little endeavor we make, and Krishna will not leave us. And he'll completely protect his devotees. Therefore, intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. So Prabhupada is saying happily live in this material world. But we have heard in Bhagavad Gita that this world is Dukhalam Asashvatam. So is Prabhupada contradicting Bhagavad Gita? No. This world is a place of miseries, but one who lives his life based on this verse of Bhagavad Gita, for him there will be no suffering in this world. There is a very famous lecture of Srila Prabhupada. I recommend all the devotees can hear that if possible. It's on 3rd canto, 25th chapter. The lecture title is "A Devotee Has No Suffering." It was given in Bombay in a series of lectures on the 3rd canto, 25th chapter. So it's a very, very powerful lectures that time. So Prabhupada's very special lectures, because you all know that time this great trouble was going on in Juhu when they were trying to take the temple back from ISKCON, and Prabhupada was fighting so hard, and the devotees, they were undergoing so many difficulties and austerities. And somehow a verse in that chapter, in the 25th chapter, where Lord Kapila says that how a devotee, he feels no suffering because his mind is always absorbed in thinking of Krishna. And Prabhupada elaborates on that point, and he actually says that how a devotee has no suffering. So he says externally he may undergo the same situations. Disease may be there, so-called enemies might be there, and difficulties might be there, but a devotee has no suffering. He doesn't suffer all those difficulties. Why? Because he is always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And that is what Prabhupada says. That One who practices this verse, this process of Krishna consciousness, can happily live in this material world. And of course, eventually, he will receive the supreme award of Krishna. He returned to Krishna's abode. But this is a very key thing, that if you practice this verse, then we can also live in this material world in a happy way. So in that lecture, Prabhupada, he says that so many difficulties, he gives examples of Prahlad Maharaj and so many exalted devotees, that although externally they underwent so many sufferings, difficult situations, but still they were not suffering actually. They were happy, they were ecstatic. Why? Because they were always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. And very interestingly, Prabhupada gives the example of Stalin. He says that the famous communist leader Stalin, he underwent a surgery without anesthesia. That he was undergoing a surgery and he said, the doctor said, I don't need anesthesia. So Prabhupada gives the example, he says that a materialist also, because he was so much absorbed in other things, his old political ambitions, that he didn't feel the pain when the doctors are operating on him without anesthesia.
I think he was afraid that if he went to sleep, that they would do something to him.
But anyway, Prabhupada, yeah, might be, but Prabhupada uses that example to prove that mind is actually most important. So because his mind was so strong, that he didn't feel the suffering actually. He could easily tolerate. So Prabhupada just wanted to give the example that then what to speak of a devotee whose mind is always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna. He quotes the example of Prahlad Maharaj. He makes a similar prayer to Narasimhadev that he says that I don't exactly remember the Sanskrit verse now. Naiva vijay durataya vaitaranyat tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. That's the verse. He says that I am not afraid of this material existence, O my Lord. Why? Because my thoughts are absorbed in your glories. So therefore I don't have any problem, but I am worried about those who are forgetful of you. That is my anxiety. So that is only a devotee's, a pure devotee's anxiety. He's never in anxiety because of himself, because of his troubles. No, his only anxiety is about others because they are not thinking of Krishna. So Prabhupada gives that example. So it is a very, very interesting lecture in which Prabhupada says that how a devotee doesn't have suffering because he's always thinking of Krishna. And actually this is one thing that I thought that really inspired me, that sometimes you always complain and we blame Krishna that why these difficulties are coming in my life, why so many problems, I have taken shelter of you, I am much better than so many others, I am chanting 16 rounds, why this is happening to me. So that lecture is very inspiring. Prabhupada says that this is, so you can take in one sense all these sufferings as mercy of Krishna, because it helps us to think of Krishna more. And then when you think of Krishna, then actually there is no suffering. Just like when there is light, there is no darkness. So the moment one thinks of Krishna, there is no more suffering. So these difficulties are actually helpful for us, because they help us remember Krishna. So so this is something I wanted to tell. And also, another point that I just want to share is that that although we are all trying, but we are seeing that it's actually difficult to think of Krishna. Yes or no, at least with me, that's the problem, that we are trying, but it's so difficult. Although in one sense it looks very simple, that all we have to do is just think of Krishna, pay him obeisances, worship him, that's all. But from another angle, the simple statement is also difficult to apply, at least what I have seen. So then what should we do? So is it a valid excuse to give? That no, I have difficulties, I cannot remember Krishna. So then also in introduction, Prabhupada makes a very nice statement. One of my favorite statements Prabhupada says here. Actually the introduction to Bhagavad Gita is really wonderful. It summarizes the entire Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada has written so beautifully. So there it is said, Prabhupada says, yes. Yes. The Lord therefore tells Arjuna that he need not give up his occupation, but while he is engaged in his occupation, he should remember Krishna, Mam Anusmara. If he doesn't practice remembering Krishna while he is struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for him to remember Krishna at the time of death. such important Prabhupada says that in our day-to-day struggle, if you just give excuses, no, I am having this difficulty, I cannot think of Krishna. So if we don't practice remembering Krishna while struggling for existence, then it will not be possible for us to remember Krishna at the time of death. Because the struggle at the time of death is much more. We all know, they describe that how many scorpions? Some 40,000 scorpions? Huh? 20,000. Describes somewhere in the Vedic literatures that the pain at the time of death is as if 20,000 scorpions biting us simultaneously. So imagine the struggle that we are undergoing that time. I'm sure that the current struggle in our life is not so intense as compared to death. So if we can't remember Krishna during these small struggles in our life now, then what to think of remembering Krishna during the final exam, during that real test? So therefore we have to practice remembering Krishna in our day-to-day struggle and while performing our occupation duties. It's not necessary that we give up the occupation duties and I just think of Krishna. Well, for some it may be possible, but while doing our activities, we have to think of Krishna. That is the secret, Prabhupada says. And Prabhupada clarifies, Prabhupada says, how is it possible? Then Prabhupada gives an example. Prabhupada himself writes, how is it possible? The acharyas give the following example. If a married woman is attached to another man, or if a man has an attachment for a woman other than his wife, then the attachment is to be considered very strong. One with such an attachment is always thinking of the loved one. The wife who is thinking of a lover is always thinking of meeting him even while she is carrying out her household chores. In fact, she carries out her household work even more carefully so her husband will not suspect her attachment. Similarly, we should always remember Krishna, the Supreme Lover, Shri Krishna, and at the same time perform our material duties very nicely. So such a nice example. The example looks a little strange. Why in Bhagavad Gita such an example is given? Why? Because this example is a very suitable example. That a woman who has another lover, she does her household activities very nicely so that nobody will doubt her. But in her mind, she is always thinking about her lover. Similarly, a man, if he loves some other woman, so in his home he acts very nicely with his wife as if everything is alright, but in his mind he is always thinking of that other woman. So this example, because we can relate to this example, is a very practical thing. We have experience of this in this world. So therefore the Acharya Srila Prabhupada is giving this example. Because many times this is a common question people ask, how can we do our duties and also remember Krishna? So this is the answer. This is the best example. Why? Because we have to think of Krishna not with the hand and feet, we have to think of Krishna with our mind, and mind is not engaged when we are doing other activities. So while doing any activities we can always remember Krishna. But what is required for that? A strong sense of love. That is what Prabhupada is saying. Why that woman is always able to think of that man? Because she has strong sense of love for that man. So similarly, if we have a strong sense of love for Krishna, then we can also think of Krishna while doing our day-to-day activities. So now naturally, what's the next question? That we don't have that love for Krishna, then what do? So then Prabhupada again explains that how can we get the love for Krishna? By the process of sadhana bhakti. By the process of shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam padasevanam arshanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atma nivedanam. So this is what, if we perform the process of sadhana bhakti, if you perform this ninefold devotional service, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, then what will happen is, gradually we'll develop our love for Krishna, the dormant love. It's already there. Nitya siddha Krishna prem sadhya kavinaya, shravan adi suddha chitte karayudaya. It is already there within us. The only thing we have to do is, by this process of sadhana bhakti, by engaging in this ninefold process, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, if we keep on doing this with sincerity, regularly, under the guidance of senior devotee, spiritual master, then what will happen is our dormant love for Krishna will awaken again, will revive. And once that love for Krishna is revived, then there is no difficulty at all in remembering Krishna. Then it becomes very natural, just like that woman who has another lover, for her it's very natural to think about that lover. She doesn't have to remind herself, oh, I have to think of him. No, it comes naturally to her. So till that stage, what we have to do? We have to practice. We have to practice this devotional service, sadhana bhakti, therefore the 64 rules are given in active devotion. But if you remember, what is that essence of all 64 rules? Prabhupada says, always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the essence of all the rules and regulations. That is the purpose, in one sense you can say. The Sanskrit says, the Sanskrit verse of that statement is that smartavya satatam Vishnu vismritya na jatushit sarva vidhi nishedashur etayor eva kinkara. That means all the other rules and regulations are simply meant for the purpose of fulfilling this main rule. What is that main rule? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So that means all these rules, they help us remember Krishna and also help us not to forget Krishna. For example, the positive rules, like we have to chant, we have to take darshan. So these, they help us remember Krishna. And the other rules, the no's that we have, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, they help us not to forget Krishna. That means if we do these activities, which are against devotional service, we will tend to forget Krishna. It will take us more and more away from Krishna. So therefore these do's and don'ts are there. So all the do's, they help us remember Krishna, and all the don'ts, they help us not to forget Krishna. So that's why we have all these do's and don'ts, all these rules and regulations. So gradually and gradually we can revive our love for Krishna. And then the attachment becomes spontaneous. That's the meaning of spontaneous devotional service. And we must hear about what is that spontaneous devotional service. So there are beautiful verses of Bhagavatam which describes that. So one or two famous verses which talk about the spontaneous attraction for Krishna. So one famous verse is found in the prayers of Kunti Maharani. So Kunti Maharani, we prays in the 8th chapter of 1st canto. She says, Tvai me ananya vishaya matir madhupate sakrit ratim udvhatat adha gange vogam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu, the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance. Let my attraction be constantly drawn onto you without being diverted to anyone else. Very beautiful verse. So what she is praying? So this is what? Although we may not have that spontaneous love for Krishna, but we can always pray to him that, O Lord, I don't have that spontaneous attraction for you, but you please bless me with that spontaneous attraction for you. So if we have that desire strongly, then Krishna will do that for us. Right? So this is the beauty. Again, one more very special feature of devotional service, that here we don't have to do much. We just have to tell Krishna, oh Krishna, please help me in doing that. So Krishna will do it for us. If we show that sincere, strong desire to Krishna. That's what we are learning from the pages of Bhagavatam. So Kunti Maharani is praying. She's not saying that, oh my Lord, my mind is so much attracted to you, it is flowing. No, she's saying, no, please, oh my Lord, let my attraction, oh my Lord, please help me so that my attraction flows towards your lotus feet without any hindrance, just like the river Ganges flows without any hindrance to the sea. And I have never been to Rishikesh and the places above that. How many of you have been to the Rishikesh or above that? I mean, in the course of Ganges. You must have seen Gangotri and all those places. I have not seen. The current is very fast, right? The Ganges current? Yeah. So even if there are huge rocks on her way, the Ganges river doesn't care. Just constantly flows with a great speed. Why? Because she is very eager to go towards the ocean. So no matter whatever difficulties are coming on the way, the current of the river doesn't flow. It's constantly, spontaneously, it runs down. And such a great distance. I think the total length of River Ganges from Gangotri to Bay of Bengal may be at least 1500 kilometers, right? If not more. So, but we see that whatever obstacles may come on her way, but Ganges flows from towards the sea. Why? Because she is attracted to the sea spontaneously. So similarly, the pure devotees, their attraction for Krishna is also like that. No matter how many obstacles may come, but they are always spontaneously attracted to Krishna. And we are not at that stage, so therefore what we can do? We can hanker for that stage. We can pray to Krishna, that, O Krishna, please let my mind also be attracted to you in this uninterrupted way. And this example has been given twice, maybe more times also, I don't know. But these two times this example of Ganges is given in Bhagavad Gita, in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Ganges flowing towards sea. Another time the same example is given in the third canto, 29th chapter, Here Kapil Dev gives the example. He talks about different kinds of devotional service. Devotional service in the mode of goodness, devotional service in the mode of passion, devotional service in the mode of ignorance. And then he talks about devotional service in transcendental devotional service, which is transcendental to all the three modes. And he says that what is the quality of that transcendental devotional service, nirguna bhakti? He says, mad guna shruti matrena mai sarva guhashaye manogati avichinna yatha ganga bhaso ambudho. He says, the manifestation of unadulterated devotion service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing in everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. Another beautiful example. So he says, what happens? What is the quality of a pure devotee? That as soon as he hears the glories of Krishna, his mind is at once attracted. Just like the water of Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada gives a very beautiful purport to that verse. He says, avyavahita means without cessation. A pure devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without cessation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we have seen this practically. It's not an impractical statement. We have seen in the lives of Srila Prabhupada and some of his exalted followers that how every minute, rather every second of the day, you can see that how they are always engaged in the service of Krishna. Sometimes when I hear Srila Prabhupada's activities in the day, it seems as if he had hundreds of hours in the day. He's doing so many things for Krishna, but actually he also had 24 hours. But this is the key. For him, every second, every minute and every second he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So again, we must understand that we are not at that stage of spontaneous devotional service, but we can hear the examples of such things from the Shastras, and we can see this in the life of great acharyas, great devotees, and we can pray to the Lord that, oh my Lord, one day even let my mind also be attracted to you in the same way, in that uninterrupted, undeviated, in a spontaneous way. Let my mind also flow towards your lotus feet. There's another beautiful verse, similar verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in the section of Dhritarasura's prayers. You must have all heard that very famous section of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto. That great fight happened between Dhritarasura and Indra. And actually, externally, Indra is a demigod. Dhritarasura is a demon. So who is supposed to preach to whom? Indra actually is supposed to preach to Dhritarasura. But what actually happened was reverse. Dhritarasura was preaching to Indra, because he was a great devotee. So in the end, he makes his beautiful prayers. So Dhritarasura is praying, Aham hare tava pade kamula dasa nudaso bhavitasmi bhuyaha mana smareta shupater gunamste krinita vakarma karotu kayaha. He says, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. This is again a beautiful example of what a devotee should aspire, what should a devotee desire. So this is what Dhritarasura is saying. My Lord, let me again become the servant of your eternal servants. And then what should I do? My desire is that let my mind always be absorbed in thinking about you, about your transcendental attributes. My words may always glorify you, and my body may be always engaged in your service. That's what he says. Manas mareta ashu pater gunas. Because what is the function of mind? Mind always thinks of something, thinks of someone. So he's saying, let my mind always think of you. And what is the function of the words? The words always glorify somebody. So let my words glorify you. And let my body do your service, do some work for your pleasure. And Prabhupada says in that purport that this verse gives a sum and substance of devotional life. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the special master. The mind should always think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. It's a beautiful purport Prabhupada gives. That this verse gives a sum and substance of devotional life. This is sixth canto, 11th chapter, 24th verse. One of the very inspiring verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what? So this is the aspiration of a devotee, that we may not be in that stage of spontaneous attachment for Krishna. Our mind is always jumping to here and there, so many different things, even when we are trying to chant Krishna's holy names, even though we are trying to absorb ourselves in kirtan or class or in darshan, but still the mind is always going here and there. So there is nothing to panic about that. All you have to do is keep trying to engage our mind as much as possible and pray to Krishna that, oh Krishna, it's very difficult for me to control this rascal mind, that you please give me this benediction, that let my mind be attracted to you spontaneously, just like the river Ganges flows towards the sea uninterruptedly. So let my mind also run towards you, towards your lotus feet, in that way. And we can also remember this example of the woman who has another lover, and how she does her household activities very nicely, but always thinks of that lover. So we can also try to do in a similar way. We can engage in our day-to-day activities, but we should always try to think of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So any questions, any comments?
Can you suggest some points where it says engage your mind
always?
Yes.
It's very hard in day-to-day life to think always of Krishna. Yes. So can you suggest something, how we can remember always Krishna?
Yes, very nice question. So first of all, as I discussed in this class, that we have to practice. So when we practice, we don't achieve perfection in one day. It's always a process. Right? So even in material life, when we see great champions, those who have Olympic records, it's not that one day they do a sprint of 100 meters in 9 seconds, right? It's always requires years and years of practice. That's the proper emphasis on this word of practice. So we have to practice. So maybe sometimes, maybe a few seconds in a day, a few minutes in a day, a few hours in a day, so like that. By practicing, we can think. And how to practice? There are many ways. Like Prabhupada says, in this purport, he says we can think of the form of Krishna. We can have darshan of the deity form of Krishna in the temple. In the introduction, Prabhupada says, very interestingly, he says that Lord Chaitanya's instruction to always chant the holy names, Kirtane Sadahari, and Krishna's instruction of Maam Anusmare are non-different. Prabhupada says, the names of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. So the Lord's instructions to Arjuna to remember me and Lord Chaitanya's injunction to always chant the names of Lord Krishna are the same instruction. So by chanting the holy names, by having darshan of Krishna, by hearing about him, and as we are doing our day-to-day activities, Prabhupada says, we have to practice remembering the Lord always, 24 hours a day, by chanting his names and molding our life's activities in such a way that we can remember him always. And then he gives the example of this, the woman who has another lover. So it requires practice. So as we practice gradually, and also Prabhupada emphasizes that we have to take direction from one fed special master. So based on Srila Prabhupada's books and his followers, we can take guidance from senior devotees. In that way, gradually we can think of Krishna. And this very important element, we should pray to Krishna. We should yearn for that sincerely. Just like these prayers where we heard that Kuntimani is saying, "Oh my Lord, let my mind flow to you in an uninterrupted way." So in that way we can pray to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, I am trying so hard, but still my mind is not being attracted to you. I am trying to chant, I am trying to have your darshan. So you please make my mind attracted to you." So we can make a prayer in that way. Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Any comments, Madhuji, to make on this question that how can we?
So you've indicated how simple it is just to follow Krishna consciousness, just by following this simple process. But it has also been pointed out by Srila Prabhupada, simple for the simple,
yes,
and complex for the crooked. So how would you suggest that we try to simplify our attitude towards Krishna consciousness, because we are so conditioned? Do you understand the question?
Yeah, little bit.
Because it's given us four right. simple things to do.
Right.
And it looks simple.
Yeah, that's what I said. But from another angle, it's so difficult. We're trying so hard, but still it's so difficult. So, yes, what you're saying, Mataji, is correct, that for the simple it is simple, but for the crooked it's complex. And we also heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he always said that saralata hi Vaishnavata. He says that simplicity is Vaishnavism. So I think in this context only, because unless one is simple, he'll tend to make things complicated. And one interpretation that I have is that what happens when we are not sincere in our motives, when we have some ulterior motives, so through this simple process of Krishna consciousness, we try to fulfill our personal agenda. That is where I think the problem comes. If our agenda is only to please Krishna and to think of him, to please the special master, then there is no problem. But the moment we try to bring ourselves in the picture, then we make things complicated. And that makes the process complex. So then we are no longer sincere, because here what Prabhupada is saying, that if we are sincere and we want to render devotional service to Krishna, Krishna will help us. But when he sees that we are not simple, we are not sincere, we are having some other selfish agenda, then he will not help us. And then the process will become more and more complex. But if we are sincere and simple hearted, then Krishna will help us. And then we can pray to Krishna, "Oh Krishna, I am trying, my mind is not getting attracted to you, please help me." But if we ourselves have that hidden desire, that something for Krishna, something for myself, then I think there lies the problem. And then we try to criticize others, we try to bring down, and all these dynamics comes to play, that I am better and he is inferior. So then the whole thought process goes in that direction. So where we can think of Krishna, it's all about ego and other things. Yes, anything else? Anybody? Any questions, comments? Okay. So thank you very much. So maybe by your blessings I can also gradually practice thinking of Krishna and perfect my life. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah. And thus ends the 10th class on Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.